Welcome to a Feathers and Spirits, Inc. production of the Bench Social Podcast. I'm your host, Tina Maria, also known as New York City Girl and the Soul Rebel in the City, back with a new season and new episode. I'm excited to kick off the season with this month's theme, Identity and Relationships, as well as excited about bringing back the Sip and Chat segment with mindset coach, Mylene Noir, who's joining me at my jeweler's bench. Welcome to all of you. Come on in, sit down, and chill with us at the bench as we chat about an enriched mindset. Loves, welcome to the Bench Social Podcast. This is your hostess, Tina Maria, and producer of the Bench Social Podcast. I'm here for a new season and the first episode, and we have a very special guest that's honoring us today. Her name is Mylene Noir. She is a wife, mother, runner, and mindset coach. Her mission is to teach career-driven women how to unlock their purpose and unleash their power beyond the workplace. She believes the most significant work you will do is on yourself, and the most critical place to start is with the mindset. Mylene is also the host of her weekly podcast, Your Enriched Self, which I highly recommend. I love it. And I'm being biased, yes, but I love it. On the podcast, she engages her audience in mindset fusion topics, not limited to self-care, soul care, intentional thinking, and mindset awareness. As a podcaster, Mylene brings her enriched way of living to help listeners come into alignment with the best version of themselves. Her message is not to let your vision for tomorrow be limited by your mindset of today. And as I finish this introduction, I welcome all of you to a dear, cherished friend of mine and a sister, a spiritual sister of mine that I cherish dearly. And she helps me stay in alignment with the best version of myself all the time, at the right times, every time. So, everyone, welcome Mylene Noir. Hi, Mylene.
Hello, loves. Affectionately, loves is the energy here. Love energy is the highest energy. So I love that that's how you introduce your audience. I speak that way myself to people that I engage with via text or however I engage them. But hello, loves. I'm excited to be here. I love this environment, this safe place that Tina created for women like me, people like me to come on unscripted. You know, we just are chit-chatting, sipping. I got my coffee. I love a coffee mug message. Believe. What's your coffee? Okay, yes, we got the business on there.
But I have my pineapple orange juice today. That's my morning coffee. And then I have a cup of tea afterwards, and then the rest of the day is water. So yeah.
Yeah, I got water on standby. So okay. Gotta have the water on standby. So I'm excited to be part of the Bench Social. Like I said, I love this safe space that you created, and that we can just come with our whatever we drink, right? Once it's good for you and you love it. We love it. And I'm just here, you know, to sip and chat. Let's catch up. Let's see what's going on.
Thank you. So tell us, I did a great introduction of introducing you to the audience. Tell us something that a little bit more about yourself and your purpose and your way of how you're starting to design a life of purpose and living victoriously. So share that with us.
Of course. So, you know, there's so much to share. But I'll start with why I'm in the place that I'm in now. As Tina mentioned, I'm a wife, a mother, runner, and I started a podcast about a year ago. It'll be the 1 year anniversary in August. Exactly. And prior to that, and how Tina and I met was we were part of a coaching cohort that helped us to not only, for some of us, align to purpose, but for people like myself, identify the purpose. And through that program and meeting amazing women like Tina, and doing my work. I think one of the big things about where I am in my life and where I'm taking my clients is to do our work. Like Tina mentioned in the introduction, that's the most important work you're going to do. And it's going to start with mindset. And so once I started to identify what I needed to do to become the best version of myself, because here's the thing, I had been trapped, like so many of us, in this space where you get so far and then there's something that holds you back. And that thing that holds you back is keeping you from purpose. So going through that program, doing my own individual work, identifying what I needed to do, helped me to align with my purpose. And really, the people I serve are women just like me. Women who, and I'm just going to say my story, is, you know, I went to school, I went to college, I did the 4-year degree, I got checked all the boxes, finished, you know, with honors, high honors and everything, my diploma says, all the things that would say is success, only to come out and feel like I wasn't fulfilled, only to come out and still be looking for what I'm here to do. You know, school teaches you a lot. I mean, I learned a lot of life lessons, but I didn't learn who I needed to be in this place, in this time, and for the people that I need to serve. And so that's work you just do over time. And it took me kind of breaking out of my comfort zone. That's one of the things I talk a lot about on my podcast, is this comfort zone, that whatever brought us there, it might've been a way that we were thinking or a way that we were thought to think, right? We go through this K-12 educational system, and we are taught how to learn, but we don't learn how to think. And so, you know, when you accumulate all of that, no wonder we are lost. No wonder we're constantly feeling undervalued or overwhelmed, because there's so much information coming in. But if you're taking in information that's not helping you add value to your life, it's just like a dumping ground. Everything will go there. So I had to identify where I needed to be. And believe it or not, that dumping ground becomes comfort zone, because it's the place we know, it's the place we were growing. And so I had to literally uproot myself from what I thought was comfort, because what I realized on that dumping ground, and I know that's harsh to say, but that's where some of us are. Some of you are on a dumping ground. And what I had to do was literally uproot myself, go back to the future, if you will, or back to my past, and identify the things that I needed so that I can get and be slingshotted into my future. And
I think you're frozen.
And unfortunately for me, I say a lot of times in my life.
Yeah, we froze. We froze for a minute. Yes, I
noticed that.
Yeah. But if you can just repeat for the audience, since, you know, the audience knows I'm about beautiful imperfections. They know that I'm about authenticity and perfection, you know, progress over perfection, which is what we both, Mylene and myself, are about. So I'm going to ask her to repeat so you guys cannot, because she has so much enriching information to give us and share with you, audience. And I want you to get everything from her, because I get so much from her on the regular. Like, we speak, I don't know how many times a day, but I mean a week, but we speak a lot and enough, and I don't mind it. And I love it, because she is part of my tribe that like many others who will probably be tuning in, they know they're part of my tribe as well. And this group of women that when I see their phone, when I see their number and their face pop up on my phone, I light up. And it's just like that surge. They're my vitamin D, they're my vitamins, they're my multiple vitamins. And so I don't want you guys to miss anything that I would love for her to share with you, that you can learn, that can help you live, be your best self. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was just, what I was saying, I think when we froze was around the dumping ground, or what I call the dumping ground, but some of us are there. I mean, I know it's not pretty and it's not aesthetic, but the truth is we have allowed ourselves to be in that space, and being in that space left us in comfort. So literally what I had to do to get to the place that I am now, and I'm still doing work. Listen, one of the things that I learned on this journey is that the work don't stop. It don't never stop. Is that how you say that? It doesn't stop. You need to continue to do it. I mean, I remember being in sales, and even when I was doing some not-for-profit coaching of young girls, one of the things I would tell them is, who is your favorite athlete? Or I would ask, you know, how many athletes in a room, and they would raise their hand, different sports. And I would say, who is your favorite athlete out there in the world? You know, like on the grand stage, the LeBrons, the Steph Currys, whoever. Or Serena, one of my favorite athletes. Yes. She's a big mindset girl. And the top ones are. I mean, when you study them, it's all about mindset. But I would start with the basics with these young women. And I would say, what do each and every one of these celebrity / athletes do every single year, no fail? Mm. What do they do? They all go to boot camp. They all go to practice. So when I mean it doesn't stop, that's what I mean, right? So for all of us coaches out there, for all of us that are inspiring or mentoring, we as mentors, as coaches, go get mentoring and coaching, because we still need to grow so that we can become the best version. Because the best version is not the B, right? That's one thing I learned from Michelle Obama's book is Becoming. She really tore back this whole idea of that question we were asked when we were children. What do you want to be when you grow up? And it really started to make you think about all the things you can become. And the woman that I'm talking to right now is one of those becomers. Like, she's so many things. She's an artist. She's a creator. She's, oh my God, she's a poet. She is, I don't know. There's so many things that she's becoming. But I think a lot of times when we're growing up, at least when I was growing up, we were kind of stuck in this, what do you want to be? Yeah. And I think that started the whole mindset thinking. Again, like I said, we were taught how to learn, but we didn't learn how to think. Right. And so exposure and understanding the greats, all of the greats, no matter what industry you place them in, they do something more than what you see on the court, what you see in the boardroom, what you see in their area of genius. They do more so they can be more. And one of the best advices I got was, you can only coach as far as you were taught. Mm. And that made me say, girl, you got to go harder. You got to study more. Listen to the podcast, read the books. I got a plethora of books that I am digging through, diving through, even before I get on the podcast, because I want to give the very best. And sometimes it's going to come from some of the best.
Yeah. I love when you mentioned how you said the question that we were all asked when we were younger, what do you want to be when you grow up? And a lot of times, I think culturally, part of my culture is, we have the same, we're of Caribbean, and our families are from the same island, so we are definitely kinfolk.
Right.
But it's interesting when you're asked that as a little girl, and from our cultures, it's usually, you know, you have to be something that's going to hold, you know, some value and of who you are, like a title of being a doctor, a lawyer, an educator, and, you know, and it's more not just an educator, but a scholar of a particular level, like a professor or something
dignified.
And a lot of times it's not about who do you want to become, meaning of your heart. For me, my purpose is the heart language and understanding the language of our heart and how easily it can get infected and corrupted and corroded and clogged, like an actual, you know,
right,
a procedure. It's a procedure. And you know, when we talk about who do you want to be when you grow up, a lot of times it's just embedded in us that you have to be a profession and you have to have this job and not worry about happiness. Worry about security of finances, security of taking care of family, meeting the white man, you know, getting your education. There's these rules and things. And although that's fine for many of us out here, but a lot of us, the question should be to the youth is, what is your passion?
Yes.
What is your passion? What is your desire? As far as making an impact, how do you want to make it? Instead of what do you want to be when you grow up, how do you want to make an impact in this world?
Yeah.
How do you want to change lives? You know, that should be the question. You know,
I agree. I agree with that so much. And my sister and I had this conversation when her son was graduating from high school. And that question came up. And we talked in depth about the fact that we were limited to this B question, because when you do the B thing, you are limited to a checked box exercise. If you wanna be this, you gotta do this, 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 and this, and you will be that. And it limits everything else that's already innately inside of you, the things God placed inside of you that you may not have even identified with, because maybe it wasn't nurtured, or you didn't explore it, or you didn't even know you had it in you. In the pandemic, my youngest found out the girl's an artist, right? But it just took time away from the world, literally, for her to dive deep into this place. So I think the purpose that I talked about earlier, the purpose we all talk about, starts to be limited right there in that B question. What do you want to be? It limits all the other abilities, all the other things that you were anointed to be. You don't even think that you have any anointing on you. You just think, oh, that's what I want to be, or that's what someone told me I should be. So I absolutely believe, and it was one of the things my sister said that my nephew told her, was the question about passion started to circulate the room. The question about how do you want to impact the world started to circulate the room, and then people started to come alive. And so I think that's such a powerful way to introduce that without really going with what do you want to be.
Exactly. And I agree with you 1,000%, where the question could be, what is your passion and how do you want to make this, turn this into purpose?
Yeah.
I must say that growing up, my brother and I was fortunate that our mother was an artist in many ways. She was a flautist. She was an illustrator. She let us expand our mind creatively, teaching us how to use, you know, experiment with watercolors and oils and crayons, markers, pencils, charcoal, everything. And the typical arts and crafts stuff. But she also embedded in us that we're not limited. That was the one thing she told us as far as unlimited and having and not being stuck to explore our talents. You know, I think with her letting us explore different mediums of art and introducing us to many varied genres of music, hearing it in the house, that was her way of saying, that's the only way you can find out what God has blessed you with, what talents you've been blessed with. And if it comes in, if it comes to the mind, it's in your heart, to try this, then do it. If you succeed, then hey, boom, that's one thing, but you're not limited to one talent. And she used to give us examples like, look at athletes. Some athletes are NFL and baseball players, but their other true love, they're restaurateurs, or they're in real estate, or like Charles Oakley had a car wash while he was playing for the WAC team up here in New York. But, you know, sorry, Knicks team, but fans, but let's keep it real. But, you know, we saw many celebrities and artisans and musicians. Like, a lot of people don't know that Billy Dee Williams is a magnificent fine artist. And his gallery, like, his work has been seen all over the world, but nobody really knows that. And she told us that. So when she started to give us examples of saying, okay, you see, you're not limited to just this particular talent. You're not limited to this particular type of art. God gives us and blesses us with multiple passions and multiple talents. Explore it. And don't, you know, right now, she's also helping me understand how fear can really destroy having that freedom to be unlimited. Right. And, you know, with the examples and conversations we've had, I do realize there's time to get paralyzed. Mm-hmm. So with the part of, in coming back full circle to you, when you're as a coach, what is it, what is the first steps of having someone not, having their vision not be limited by their mindset? What is your process, or how can I put it, your method?
Yeah. So I have what I call a DNA method. And just like the DNA of beings, human beings, is the foundation, right? That tells all of the aspects of that human being, all of the different medical things they might have to deal with based on their DNA. And so I think you have to go back to your makeup, your original makeup. You just think about it like a vehicle too, right? You know, if you want to get a specialized vehicle, and we're unique, right? We're not cookie cutter cars, right? We're the Bentleys, right? I like to consider us like that luxury version of who we are, because no one is the same. Yeah. When you go from backgrounds to experience to education, whatever, you can't find a footprint of the exact same person. So we are customized people. And so because we're customized people, you have to go back to the origin of that customization. I can't take them through what I went through. I can share that as a touch point, but it requires you to go back. And so the DNA method starts with digging deep. And digging deep really means to go back to the origin. Why do I think this way? The ways and the whys of my thinking. What has me thinking this way? For example, you gave a great example of your mother exposing you to different arts forms, to different social scenes and settings. What that did is that gave you a proximity to what could be your anointing, right? Which eventually you started to, it was nurtured, which is the N. But you got to dig deep to understand, why do you think the way you thought? And one of the things I challenge people with is, who told you that?
Right.
Because a lot of people that are imparting things on you, they're not professionals. They might have been a teacher or a friend. And when I say they're not professionals, I mean, they're not a professional in your life. They're telling you who you are and who you need to be, and they don't know your story. They don't know your background. They don't know your origin. So digging deep requires you to go under the hood and find out who's saying that to you. Because a lot of times you will find that the people saying that to you have no intention for your best interests. They weren't there to help you grow, and they're probably there to slow you down. And so if you start to hear something over and over again, and I'll start with this foundational principle in the dig deep. And this is why mindset is so critical and such an important step. So studies have shown that people have about 12 to 60,000 thoughts in a day.
Yeah, I might.
12 to 60,000 thoughts in a day. And of those thoughts, 80% of them are negative. So imagine, right, 80%. But imagine if you've been carrying baggage from your past, whether it's childhood past, adolescent past, teenage past, youth past, college past, whatever path you walk, and you've been carrying that baggage from path to path, your mind is still filled with a lot of those negative thoughts at that rate of 80%, which is astonishing that this is how we think, right? Now, factor this, 95% of those thoughts are repetitive thoughts. 95% of those thoughts are repetitive thoughts. It is crazy that our mind is really the first home that we have. I like to call it your first home, because as you start with any home that you move into, you start to design that room, design the rooms, design, put things in place. And there are going to be things when you move into your home, or when you plan to move into your home, that you're not bringing. Right. And that's what I want people to do when they dig deep, and where you're going, Because I can't change your past, but we can talk about where you want to go. And if you're moving into this new mindset, there are things from back here that you have to take out. You can't move into your new home with old furniture. Sometimes you got to let it go. And some of that old furniture were things that were said to you, things that were unfortunately done to you, and your experiences that shaped the reality, which shaped your thinking and shaped what you did and shaped how you spoke about yourself and spoke about the world that you live in. And so that's just step one. We ain't even really got into fully step one, but it's the dig deep aspect of DNA. And then of course, nurture. Once you determine you've done the work, and like I said, this is what I was talking about earlier when I said, it's important that we continue to do the work. My mother was a gardener, still is. She's in Indianapolis now. She's hanging with my sister. She's planting. I'm watching her on FaceTime, literally plant, weed. She's in heaven. It is her heaven. So I grew up watching this woman her whole life plant, weed, take care and till her garden. And so this nurture part is so important, because once you've taken out the weeds, okay, in this garden, I like to consider this whole thing a garden. I consider my life a garden where I get to plant things. Literally, my wedding vows to my husband was about the garden that we will plant together, right? Okay. And I didn't even realize then how much of an impact walking in the garden with mom with barefoot and standing on that soil and watching her determine which ones need sun, which ones need shade, where should this be? And that's what we do with our thoughts. And so as I started to think about my past, there were some things like anybody's past, not great. But what needs to happen once you identify what is great is to nurture it.
Yes.
And so in that garden, mother would water the plants. She would remove the weeds from the plants, do that maintenance that we need to do, because it doesn't stop. Just like the professionals that are in practice, they got to keep maintaining. They have to keep pulling those weeds, because things get planted in their minds. I mean, keep in mind, they are under the scrutiny of the media. So whatever the media plays out can become a mindset thing. You hear it all the time. Athletes say, I just put in my headphones and I stay focused on the game. They don't want to hear what the media has to say. They want to hear what their opponent or the other team has to say. They're on their thing. I'm doing my thing. I'm in my lane. So I put in my earplugs and I keep it moving. So what are they listening to? And that's what we talk about with the DNA method. What are you nurturing, watering your mind with, your thoughts with, so that you can be that best version of yourself? So you can show up as the best version of yourself. So it's, what are we listening to? What are we eating? Because, you know, how we feel impacts that too. And so if we're not taking care of the vessel that we have, if we're not taking care of our mind with what we listen into and, you know, what we do each day. And then, of course, we need to do the work. And that's the action. That's the activity. That's the A, right? There are things that we must do, that we must act out every single day to make sure that we are continuing this whole process of DNA. So that is my method. Like I said, the first step is that dig deep, nurture is step number two. And then of course we have to do the acts, the little acts, the daily acts, the everyday things that will help us build our best version of ourselves.
That's awesome. I love that method, the DNA method. I love it. How would someone reach out to you to be a coach, like to be their coach? Are you doing private sessions? Like, just share with us.
Absolutely. I am doing private sessions now. I do one-on-ones now where I meet, you know, just depending on how often they can meet, but I meet them one-on-one and we go through these methods. And again, like I said, my purpose for each of these women that I serve is to help them unleash beyond the workplace. Because there are things that we want to unlock. But again, when you work a 9-to-5, which I do, I still work 9-to-5. There are a lot of people that are in a 9-to-5 and they're walking their entrepreneurial journey. And I think it's daunting at first to think, you know, how can I possibly be able to do this? And what is my gift? What do I need to unlock and unleash so I can do that beyond the workplace? So yes, I do private sessions. I'm working on coaching sessions that will come next year. And I'm working on an event. I'm still cultivating the event. It will be an in-person event here in this 2022. So I am working that event. I'm excited for the women that will be in attendance, and things are starting to kick off, and I'm excited for that as well.
You mentioned about balancing 9 to 5 and entrepreneurial. Now, I was there. You knew my journey last year with that. And to some, it would be unfortunate. I was released of that 9 to 5 journey and thrusted into the entrepreneurial journey. So it was bittersweet, more sweet than bitter.
Right.
So you currently being a 9 to 5er and entrepreneur, can you share with the loves out here, the audience, how you've achieved that, how you started, how you manage it? Is there a strategy process that you do? Is, you know, time management, so forth? Like, just quickly give us something so that those who are thinking about it in the process of designing their life of purpose and living victoriously, that could be something where they might feel limited in that vision of like working 9 to 5 and you're a mom and a wife.
Right.
Or how you balance all four of those titles.
Yeah. I think it's so funny that you're saying this, because it makes me think of a freedom series that I'm starting in my podcast for the month of June. I know we already started June, but we have 5 Thursdays and my podcast comes out every Thursday. Shameless plug. Anyway, we have 4 Thursdays left. And so my intention is to talk about this freedom thing. And you said limited. And when you say limitations, I think automatically the opposite of limit is freedom, to break free. And I like to think about the 9 to 5 or the ability to move into that entrepreneurial space as an opportunity to get to freedom. Mm-hmm. And there are things that you have to believe about where you are and where you're headed. And I think for me, and this happened to me quite frankly in our cohort, our coaching cohort, and some of the things that we learned from our coaches. So some of these things are going to sound very familiar to you. But one of the things that helped me to stay on this path, because it is daunting, as Tina said, there are many hats to juggle, is sloppy progress.
Exactly.
Sloppy. I'm telling you, if you're going out to do this, you know that I always start with sloppy progress. Right. And that's a Patrice Washington. I mean, she needs to coin it. She needs to whatever. I mean, she's already coined it, but she needs to like patent it or whatever, because I promise you, I had never heard those two words together. Mm-hmm. And I never understood what it meant to do it until I started to do it. And it is hella, can I say hella? Hella uncomfortable to do something called sloppy progress, because it just doesn't make sense until you start to do it. And it was my freedom
zone as well. Like, I know for me, someone who was an introvert, shy, I had trust issues. I didn't like to be vulnerable, because vulnerability meant signs of weakness to build, you know. But I had to, you know, come out of that comfort zone. And it was a year process. I must say it was a year process. I believe with this podcast, I had 2 launches, and it was just being able to balance, mm-hmm. you know, my mindset was already shifting from lack and limited beliefs to really being able to prosper in my vision, like, in my purpose. And I'm, you know, to many of the audience out there, I say, hold on to it. You have to eliminate and eradicate that lack mindset, that disbelief, that woe is me. And I know it's easier said than done, but this is why I have my lead here, because she is really powerful when it comes to holding on to your vision and not letting that mind, like a post I said, mind trickery, you know, of the imposter syndrome, you know, that mind trickery. And it's also, we're both spirit-led women. And it's also, she has helped me and reminds me when my mind starts to, you know, when the enemy starts to whisper, Mylene is great at coming at the right time. When I'm just like, my heart's, you know, I'm speaking from my heart. And then she calls and she's like, hey, love, hey, sis. And I'm just like, calling it. She's like, how are you doing? We sing to each other when we answer the phone. We open up our calls, singing to each other. And that's the energy you would get from her as a coach. Like, when I say it's a bolt, you won't need Red Bull. And that's no bull for real. Like,
I love that.
My Red Bull, like my shot of like a jump boost, you know what I mean? And if I'm already in good spirits and then she calls and we're singing on the phone, or I call and leave a message singing or blasting music and she's like, hey, you know, like, so I love how you said to eradicate the word limited and lack in order to walk the path of these titles of wife, mother, employee, and entrepreneur, you know, and then another path as a coach, you know. So I love that.
I mean, it just really eradicates this whole notion of perfectionism. And it's something that, you know, I always say that I'm a recovering perfectionist, because the thing about perfection is such a trick. It is such a trick because it prevents you from delivering. Perfection prevents you from delivering.
Yeah.
Perfection prevents you from showing up, which is a huge part of what I talk about on my podcast, is that you got to show up. Yeah. If you want something to get done, you have to show up.
Yeah.
And that is a big part of, again, this movement from, not from, because you're not leaving your 9-to-5, but you're moving towards that entrepreneurial space. Another teaching that we got from the cohort was, we can do hard things. And here's the thing about hard. Hard is another trick. Listen, I always like to get to the underbelly or the hood of the word. Yeah. What is hard? What is hard? Hard is basically something that I haven't tried yet. That's what's under the word hard. I haven't tried it yet. What easy is something I've tried, I know I can do, I've probably done it multiple times, it becomes easy. So hard is just, I haven't tried this yet. So when we hear the word hard, we think I can't do it. That's the first thing that comes in. Hard means you can't. But there was a time when I started my job, I just, you know, got a new role, not but a few months ago. And I had to really do my work, because I could have easily fell into the trap like, man, this is hard. Because I was doing the job I was doing for about 2 years or 3 years. And I wouldn't say it was easy. I would say it was easy because I could do it with my eyes closed. We get to that point. And so hard to me just means I'm doing something that's taking me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so when our coach said, you can do hard things, my translation was, it's not that I can do things. That I am doing things that I can't do, but instead I'm doing things that are not in my comfort zone. I am able now to do things outside of comfort and be okay and be safe.
Yeah.
And that's why I also encourage the people I coach to breathe, because what breathing will do is it is a sign to your body that you are safe.
Yes.
When we get out of the comfort zone, comfort, safe, comfort, safety. When we get out of the comfort zone, we get anxious. That's where that anxiety comes in. That's where the spirit of fear that Tina talked about earlier comes in. Doubt comes in.
Worry.
And so that's why that deep breath, if you remember anything, remember that deep breath that you take, I talk about that on my podcast a lot, is a sign to your body, to your being, that it is, you are safe. So I always encourage people, when you start feeling, because I want you to get out of your feelings, is to take a deep breath, because that's going to be the signal to your brain, to the body, that you are safe. And when you know you're safe, you can walk out of the comfort zone.
Yep.
You can walk right on out into something new, which is now you conquering the hard thing. So that was another freedom statement for me in that coaching environment.
Yeah.
I can do those hard things. I can do things outside of comfort and be okay and live, right? Yeah. Truly live and really thrive, because you're doing something and you're sending a new message is what starts to happen. Remember we talked about those 60,000 thoughts a day?
Yeah.
When you now do something that you've never done before and you've accomplished, achieved it, you've just sent a message to your mind that, oh, I can do this. Yeah. And that can-do attitude starts to change those thoughts. Remember the 60,000 thoughts? We're starting to eradicate some of the negativity because we now have proof. And that's what we need. That's what doubt needs. I talk to doubt like a person. I say, you need proof? Let me show you. Let me remind you of what I did, where I went, how I did it.
Here, like a person too, where you was like, I'm not accepting this. You gotta go. And that's what I've been talking to fear this week, like last week. And I was just like, yeah, listen, homie, it's not happening today. Like, I'm gonna have to be my alter ego, Consuelo, who is not.
Yes.
So she's that introvert that will kick your behind. She's that in Bronx. Barrio rebel, you know, like she will kick you behind. And it's just like when Consuelo has had enough, she's had enough. Had enough of the fear. I've had enough of the perfectionism. Those two people, man, let me tell you.
I'm telling you.
They try. And my perfectionism has caused, you know, delay after delay after delay after delay, because I'm so focused on perfecting.
In my hand. I'm with you.
So this is why it's like I always say my aesthetic is beautiful imperfections. And I'm, you know, if I gave up perfecting myself, you know, and I don't mean as far as my health, I'm always going to be, you know, and, you know, pursue excellence when it comes to my health. But when I say like trying to cover up the scars or the, like, mm-hmm. like me being here with walking outside with no cover up over my arms and showing the discoloration because of like the sunburn I got with the eczema, you know, it really affected it, or the scars that I have, or other things that I've endured during physical battles. And, you know, March was the celebration of rebirth. And I was just like, I'm not going to color my hair anymore. You know what I mean? Like, to other women who may feel insecure about that or see that as an imperfection, I had to really start to fall in love with my natural beauty and fall in love with that. And that process happens. Like when I'm going to start speaking more about that process happens once you understand the language of your own heart. Like when you learn to dissect and change that language and like the word, you got to get rid of those words. You've held me accountable, and many of our sisters who are probably going to be tune in have held me accountable to change my words. I wouldn't have been able to receive that because of the cohort that we were part of. That investment with Patrice was a thousandfold. It was 10,000-fold.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The person I am becoming, that I've transitioned from, and remembering the good parts of Bina, and just becoming her again, and then elevating into the woman that I'm supposed to be, that God has designed and created me to be, that leader with the quiet voice, you know, it's just, I'm thankful for that. You know what I mean? You guys hold me accountable to change the power of my language. And you say it with love from your heart. That's the point I was getting to, is that language it's not received as criticism, is not received as judgment, is not received as, you know, harsh opinions or rejection.
Right.
Worthy. It's important, you know, and you as a coach for the women you're going to be coaching, that's a great power because your heart language is enriching. It's
really good. Yes, that is. And it's so funny you talk about language because it really is a foundation of the whole mindset evolution, right, that we have. I don't think your mind is bad, but just like moving into that home, like I said, this is your first home. You want to bring the best things in your home. You don't want to bring stuff that doesn't speak to where you're going or who you are now, or, you know, stuff that's kind of sullied, right? You want to bring things that represent the person you are. So when I think about the language and how I challenge people on the podcast is to use new language. Because limiting beliefs use old language. Unlimiting beliefs require new language. And you said something about excellence, and that for me is the opposite of perfection. Yes. Because perfection tells you, which is a lie, and we've heard it our whole lives, this whole saying that nobody's perfect. True, right? Nobody's perfect. But why do we try to go after something that nobody is? We know the only perfect being is God. So we're trying to do something that nobody can attain. Doesn't that sound crazy? Yes. No wonder we lose our minds and we lose our way and we lose our hope and our faith on this journey to perfection because you're not going to achieve it, but you can achieve excellence. Excellence is something you can attain. It doesn't mean that you didn't make any mistakes. It means that you're embracing all of it. Just like you said, you're embracing all of Tina. The scars, the past history, the physical stuff, the mental stuff, all the things that make you you, when you embrace that, that's excellence. Perfection is trying to fix the scars and do all these things. And I'm not saying that therapy isn't important because I think Jesus and therapy are two of the most important things you can have in your life.
That's magic in the world.
But there are things that we try to change that nobody, you don't have to go run and change and stuff to be perfect. Embrace it. And that is where we need to strive is the excellence of, I made a mistake, I understand the mistake, and now I can do different. That is excellence. That is excellence. Understanding that step now that you need to take to get to the next level to be enriched. And that's your excellence factor.
So share with the audience how they can learn more about you, how they can connect with you, and how you can become their coach.
Absolutely. You can connect with me. I am on all social media platforms. I'm most active on Instagram. Instagram is my jam. I say it every time in my podcast. And I'm also on Facebook a lot as well. So you can connect with me there. I have a link in my bio. I will share that. That'll be part of your show notes, I'm sure, Tina. As well as, again, the podcast. I mean, I love feedback. I ask on my podcast for people to send me feedback because feedback is a gift. I mean, I've gotten some great podcast episodes from, clients, from people that are listeners. Mm-hmm. I know imposter syndrome is one of those such topics, but yeah. I get a lot of great topics from feedback. So please continue to, or please send feedback because that's another way to connect with me as well. And all my other details of how you can connect with me via email and you can set up an appointment to meet with me are in my bio on my Instagram page. So you can definitely connect to that in the link in my bio.
Well, thank you so much. This was an amazing sip and chat session. It was just amazing. Anything that you would like to share with with the audience as far as what affirmation or manifest quote would you share to enrich my audience in as far as designing a life of purpose and living victoriously? What would you share just to end that?
I would share that you are perfectly aligned to the purpose that God has anointed you to.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
Finish.
I was just going to say, and every day, just pray that you stay in alignment to that purpose.
Yes, that's very key. Yes. Thank you so much, Mylene, for honoring us as a guest here at the Bench Social and joining me here at the Bench. I would love to have you again, because you said your anniversary is in August, so we want to have like a little champagne too. But we'll be speaking again soon. I will probably, you know, I will be introducing the audience on Instagram at the Bench Social on Instagram. You guys will get to see Mylene physically on Instagram. So stay tuned for an IG live with that. I'm excited to have her there. And I'll talk to you soon. I wish everyone grace, love, and plenty of sunshine. Later, loves.
Bye, loves. Bye, Tina.
Bye, sis. Hey, kindred spirits, what did you think? Wasn't Mylene amazing today? I mean, she gave us so much nourishing and fulfilling and enriching information about an enriched lifestyle, an enriched mindset. She dropped gems about her DNA method. I mean, it was so good today. And I hope all of you enjoyed today's sip and chat conversation with Mylene. Today's topic was definitely related to the importance of relationship with yourself. And that is the key that Mylene has mentioned for an enriched mindset, is how you think of yourself. And just, wow. If anyone has missed it or missed pieces of it, please feel free to replay and listen again. And the other thing, enriched mindset, the mindset is one of the facets into designing your life of purpose and living victoriously. So I hope you really keep that in mind and as you are walking in your journey. Thank you again to Mylene for joining me. Thank you to all of you for joining Mylene and myself here at the Jewelers Bench on the Bench Social. I do hope our sip and chat conversation really has nourished your heart, mind, and spirit. Please be sure to share with someone who you feel that they would be nourished. And be sure to leave a comment below and share your thoughts about today's segment and about our guests, about my special guests. And don't forget to rate and subscribe to the Bench Social Podcast. Follow us on IG at the Bench Social for new episode alerts, aspirational posts where I would be a guest on other platforms, my advocacy for the ethical jewelry movement, and my advocacy for women and children of Native American, Indigenous, and Pan-African cultures. You can also get to know more about my jewelry brand, Rhea 24K Jewelry by Mina and Rhea, also on Instagram at Rhea 24K. That's R-I-A 24K for new developments and updates on my jewelry collections, upcoming jewelry collections, some brand collaborations that are in the works, and becoming a 24K VIP. So you can get some insights and sneak peeks and exclusives about Rhea 24K Jewelry. So I do hope I see everyone there. And just to keep this energy going and the vibe going, I'm going to close out today's show with a song by Curtis Mayfield called Move On Up, because that's all we're all about, is moving our mindset up, elevating, keeping our spirits elevated, keeping ourselves moving on up towards our purpose of designing a life of purpose and living victoriously. So thank you all for tuning in. I'll talk to you next week here on the show. Meet me at the Bench. In the meantime, I wish all of you grace, love, and plenty of sunshine. Later, loves.
Just a little faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.